Hallelujah. Hey, Viv, lower that a little. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, we don't need to do the song, Let It Rain. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How's everybody? A drink from heaven. Man cannot live by bread alone. You can't live by Panera alone. But every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, amen? Oh, it's so good to drink of the eternal river. Can everybody hear me? We're even going through this again. Oh, boy. Would you turn to 1 Peter chapter 5? Just look at this as being on a boat in the middle of the lake and you're being tested. Oh, glory. Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with what? Humility. For God resists the proud. Amen. But he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. In other words, that he may approve you. See, that word exalt is associated with approve, that he may approve you in due time. He says, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. This is not just you happen to get up one day and the devil attacks you. This is every day. Amen? This is an everyday life experience. You are being hard-pressed every day. Right now, there are more and more imposters, more and more demonic activities being released. Darkness no longer hides itself. It's coming right out in front. They don't care. The word says in verse 9, it says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood. Man, why does it sound so echoey? Hallelujah. So we are to resist him in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in all the world. Everyone is going through it. But the word going through it is important. Amen? We want to go through it, not stay stuck in it. Can you hear me? Okay. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, been tested. Everyone say, I'm being tested. After you've been tested, after you've suffered a while, this is going to perfect, establish, and strengthen you so that you are settled and you will become immovable. Immovable. One of the things that I really believe that the Lord is doing right now, we are in what we call approval cycle. And one of the things that he wants to know is what you're approving. The test is what you're approving. It's an approval cycle. It's a cycle that God brings us through. And what the test is to see what you're approving and what you're not approving. In the book of John, hallelujah, John 14, Jesus says something very powerful. In verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except for through me. In other words, what he's doing in this arena is, are you approving of truth or are you approving of deception? Are you approving in the area of what God has revealed to you so that you may walk in what you've learned, or are you disapproving it by how you live your life in Christ? The word says something profound. It says that those who know the truth, amen, are free. I want to explain that knowing the truth doesn't make you free. Practicing the truth does. So if you're not approving of truth, then you're approving of a lie. See, there's this time right now where the Lord is bringing the whole body of Christ through to see what they're approving. Are they a man approving of man, or are they approving of God? In other words, where is your heart at? And there's got to be a place where we break that cycle of wanting to be approved by man instead of being approved by God. See, that's the difference of living out of your spirit or out of your soul, your mind, your carnal. There's two different things. And I believe that the Lord right now is testing the whole body right now to find out what they're living out of. Those who are led by the Spirit are called sons of God. So what we're living out of is what we're approving. It shows us. It shows God. God is testing everyone. It is a time of testing. And when you pass the test, you get approved and you get promoted. Or you get the promise. Does everybody get it? In James chapter 1, you know, we are in an election year. And we're seeing all of these news ratings that are approval rate of who's what and whatever. All of this approval rate. Man's approving man and all of this stuff. You know, what's God's approval rate? What's the rate you're at? What's the rate we're at of God's approval? Oh, hallelujah. In James chapter 1 and verse 12. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Blessed is the man who what? Endures temptation, for when he has been approved. So what does he have to endure? Temptation. The temptation is to challenge you whether you're looking for approval of the world or God. Every temptation is associated with that. And it says something profound. He says, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God does not tempt. He's not being tempted by evil, nor does he tempt himself, attempt anyone. But each one is what? Tempted when he was what? Drawn away by his what? Own desires, things that we approve of, and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth what? Death. This is a test of approval. It is repeated in your life and mine. God always tests us. Why? He wants to know where you're at. To what? You're going to earn his trust or lose it. I didn't say you'd lose the salvation. I said you're going to earn his trust or lose it. Does everybody get it? 2 Thessalonians or 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, if you really have a relationship with the Lord, you always want to gain his trust. If you don't, you don't give a hoot. In verse 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Is everybody there? Everybody okay? Let's read it together. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. I'd like to see you repeat that 10 times. In verse 13. And we, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which is especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord, what? Commends. See, many people are self-approving. Just because they do something, they, oh. What we're looking for is approval from God, not from man. There's two different things. Because what man exalts, God looks at it as abomination. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So we're going to either be a man pleaser or a God pleaser, aren't we? And that determines what you're living out of. If you're living out of the spirit, you will be a God pleaser. If you're living out of the soulish arena, the carnal soulish arena, not the new renewed one, if you're living out of the carnal mind, you'll be looking for man-pleasing. There's a difference. Has everybody got it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's read this together. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we have suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not pleasing, not as what? Pleasing men, but God who tests our heart. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become what? Dear to us. In other words, in this, he was out declaring to them, what I'm speaking to you is truth. And because he was declaring the message of truth, the gospel is a message of freedom. Truth is what sets you free by practicing it. And he said, look, we're coming here because we love you and because we want to declare the truth, because we are pleasers of God, not pleasers of man. You know, we go into the jails and the prisons and so forth, and, you know, so many times in there, people think that we get funded or something by going in there. And one of the things I got to tell them, I said, look, you know, nobody pays us to come in here. We come in here because of our love and relationship with the Lord, because we not only want to please him because we love him, but we want you to know who he is, because we want to come out of the arena of men pleasing and come into the arena of God pleasing. You know, so many people are so concerned about pleasing their, and don't get this wrong, pleasing their spouses more than pleasing God. Pleasing their children more than pleasing God. There's an area where you got to stand up for what is truth and what is right, and not be a man pleaser or a soulish pleaser, but be a pleaser of God in the spirit, and that will determine what place you're living out of. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because these trials and testings are now. They are coming. They will recycle. And we've got to come to a place where we break the cycle of approving by man. Does everybody get it? Because it will mislead us tremendously. You know, why do people, you know, there's that area of pleasing God or pleasing the world. Many people want to please man because of fear of rejection. And why is there a fear of rejection? Because they're insecure. Where there's insecurity, there is fear. Fear of rejection, fear of not being accepted. Well, then what kind of relationship is that between that person and God? God says you've already been approved and accepted. Why can't you just hold on to that and keep it? That's your promise. That's my promise. So when I'm rejected by men, it doesn't matter, because I'm accepted by him. There's a difference. And that determines whether you're living out of the spirit or out of the soulish arena. Whether you're living, because see, many people live by how they feel, and they're only looking for approval of men to feel good for self. And don't get me wrong, everybody wants to be accepted by one another. But if we're all accepted in the Lord and know that we're accepted in the Lord, then we should be accepting one another, no matter which condition that person is in. Amen? It doesn't matter. And what we want to do is get an individual set in position so that they walk in that same place where insecurities are removed, where fears are removed, where rejections are removed. It doesn't matter whether you're rejected by man. Why? I'm accepted by God. And one of the things I don't want to do is interfere with what God's doing with someone. Amen? I don't want anyone to interfere with what God's doing with me. Do you remember what happened with Peter? Come on, think about this for a second. Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Peter says, man, you're the Christ. You're the one. Hallelujah. And Jesus says, you're right. Nobody told you that but my Father in heaven, that I am the Christ. And on that revelation of the anointing that I'm going to build my church. A few minutes later, Jesus tells him, you know, I got to suffer. And what happens? Peter says, oh, no, you ain't doing that, man. I'm going to take care of that. What does Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. I mean, here Peter just has revelation, hears from God, and next thing you know, he's hearing from the devil. Why? Because Peter got right in the soul, was actually even though his intentions might have been good, he was interfering with the will of God because he was looking for feeling. Well, if you're a person that lives by just feeling, you'll always be misled. Bottom line. And God can't trust someone who lives out of the soul. He trusts people who live out of the spirit. Why? Because they love their lives. They love not their lives to death. That's where a person denies himself and everything. So we've got to begin to break this approval cycle of man. Don't look for approval from the world. Then you'll become of the world. You look approval from God. And when you look for approval from God, you set a different course. It's totally different. Look at how many kids are looking for, especially peer pressure. What is peer pressure? It's approval from one another, isn't it? I mean, they go do strange things. I know I did. Man, I was out there when I was a kid. I still don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up, but praise God. But we did strange things. All of a sudden, you know, people started smoking. Your friends started smoking. You started smoking. People started doing this. They started doing that. Some of them walked away, but not many. But it was mostly how your household was. If your parents were not right with God and didn't know what the truth was, then we walked in a different way. But if they did know what was right, they would be correcting us in a mightier way. Amen? But most of our parents at one time were heathens, so praise God. But we became the witness. Amen? Job chapter 23. The employment section. Hallelujah! Job 23. In verse 8, look, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. Is everybody there? When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. He knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as what? Gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his ways and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Wow. Does everybody get that? In other words, he treasured more what God said than what man said. And he knew that he would be tested, but he knew that if he held fast to what God said, he would come out like gold. Now, gold, heated, is transparent. It's transparent. Why? So that Jesus would be seen and not him. Isaiah 48. In verse 9. Isaiah 48 and verse 9. Let's read this together. For my name's sake, I would defer my anger. And for my praise, I will restrain it from you, so that I do not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the what? Furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned? I will not give my glory to another. Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, and I am the last. Indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has stretched out the heavens. When I call to them, they will stand up together. All of you, assemble yourselves and hear. Who among them has declared these things? The Lord loves him. He shall do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be against the Chaldeans. I have spoken. Yes, I have called him, and I have brought him, and his way will what? Prosper. Come near to me. Hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that I was. I was there. And now the Lord God and his Spirit have what? Sent me. Do you know he's sending you? Thus says the Lord your God, Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to what? To profit. Nothing wrong with profit. As long as it's done according to the traditions, strategies of the Lord and integrity. who leads you by the way you should go. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants also would have been like the sand, and the offspring of your body like the grains of the sand. His name would not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. Go forth from Babylon. Flee from the Chaldeans. Babylon, the Chaldeans, is associated with the world system. With a voice of singing, declare, proclaim this, utter it to the end of the earth. Say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. And they did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow from the rock for them. He also split the rock and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the what? For the wicked. Again, one of the things that you and I will be tested, we're going to go through the fires. We're going to get put in the furnace. God's going to test you. What is he going to test? He's going to test you on what you approve. That's the testing. What are you approving of that's displeasing to God? Does everybody get this? Look at how many believers have fallen. Look at how many people who proclaim to be believers that voted a man in office that promotes same-sex marriage, calls this country no longer Christian, and approves abortion. These are people that are living out of the soul, not out of the spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1. They call evil good and good evil. And of course, the word tells us that many will fall from the faith, right? Taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And that's happening big time. 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 3. Let's read it together. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. Incorruptible, not tarnished, and undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for who? For you and me, who are kept by the power of God through what? Through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by what? Various trials. You have been what? Tested. You've been tried. And what's it for? That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by what? Fire may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressibly and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So the genuineness, we are being tested right now for being genuine. Does everybody get that? That's what this test is. Are you genuine? Are you truly what you say you are? Are you walking what you're talking? Or are you just talking? Are you truly an expression of Christ? Are you living for you or are you living for him? Are you a God pleaser or a man pleaser? And what you approve is what you'll be judged by. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 11. So if you're living out of the spirit, you'll be approval of God. You're living out of the flesh, of the soul, you'll be looking for approval of the world. In verse 11, let's read this together. And this is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. Hello. Now listen, this is important. If you died with him, that means you've come to the end of yourself. If you died with him, you don't have a life then. What do you mean I don't have? No, you don't have a life. But we're all here. Yes. But we don't have our life no more. We were bought and sealed. Lifetime warrantied. Amen? You can't dry clean this or laundry it. It can only be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Impressed by the seal of God. No starch, please. I wouldn't want to be called a stiff neck. Hallelujah. Again, if we died, if we come to the end of ourself, that's why Jesus gave us a formula, deny yourself, right? If we died with him, we shall also live with him. That's right now. This is not afterwards, even though there's an after. This is now. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. Where? Here and after. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Hello? So let me ask you this. If you're approving of something that God disapproves of, are you denying him? Yes. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. What is he waiting for? You to turn around and come back. Get in line. He cannot deny himself. It says, remind him of these things, charge them before the Lord, not to strife about words to no profit, to the ruin of their hearers, but be what? Diligent to present yourself what? Approved to God, a worker who does not need to be what? Ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun what? Profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Hallelujah. So avoid the foolishness. Avoid the, you know, what happens is people try to prove themselves. That's why they get in arguments. Most of the time they're saying, my flesh is bigger than your flesh, you know. We don't have to prove anything. We are pre-approved. Let your walk prove who you are in Christ. Let the words that proceed out of your mouth prove who you are in Christ. Let your decisions prove who you are in Christ. Let what you approve or disapprove prove who you are in Christ. Has everybody got this? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. So we are an approval cycle, what we might call a testing cycle. God wants to know what you're approving and what you're not approving. He wants to know what you're... Why? Because what you approve, you're connected to. Does everybody got it? Everyone say, what I approve, I'm connected to. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Let's speak it together. In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Wow, in knowledge and all discernment. Discerning things. Well, you know what? You're going to need to discern what's clean and unclean, what's holy and unholy, what's righteous and what's not righteous. Amen? That you may what? Verse 10. That you may approve the things that are what? Excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word with what? Without fear. Without fear. Romans chapter 1. So we can stand before the Lord today and find out what our approval rating is. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20-something, 28. Ooh, let's start at 18. For the wrath of God is what? Revealed from heaven against all what? Ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Will you suppress the truth if you approve of something that's not pleasing to God? Yes, you suppress the truth. Amen? Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are with what? So the whole world is without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were what? Darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image. They changed him into a what? An image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to what? Uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. In other words, they began to approve things that were disproving to God. And they did it such an extent that he said, go for it. He let them go. And this is what occurred, this is what happens to them in verse 25. Who exchanged the truth of God for the what? Lie. So they accepted the lie. They approved the lie and disapproved the truth. And worshiped and served the creature rather than creator, who is blessed forever. There are many people who worship creation instead of creator. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. In other words, he let them go. For even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which is due, which is death. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteous sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Verse 32, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, in other words, they know the righteous judgment of God, but they choose to approve of the things that are disapproving to God. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of what? Death. Those who practice such things are deserving of death. Now here's the kicker. Not only do the same, but also what? Approve of those who practice them. Wow. So those who even approve of it, anything that you approve of that God disapproves of, opens the door to demonic activity in your life. It is called sin, the presence of evil. Eventually, once the presence of evil comes, it will entice you to act on the presence of evil. It brings a transgression. Once that transgression is established, it brings a curse on you and your family line. The devil's not stupid. He knows how to sway people. Listen, he'll outwit you in a second, and myself also. Without the Holy Spirit, we're nothing. Listen, there are people that memorize the Word of God, and they're still going to hell. They know the numbers and they know the page numbers, the scriptures and everything, but they still live in sin. There isn't a repentant heart. I've asked believers, yeah, well, really? But then we start talking. I said, man, when's the last time you repent? I don't need to repent. I haven't done anything wrong. Well, I'll be walk away from that person. We wait for the lightning. See, because that person lives out of the soulish arena, not out of the spirit. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the what? Even from the dead, from which he also received him in the figurative sense. Does everybody see that? Abraham was asked by God to kill his son. He was being tested. Why? God was testing to see if he was going to be a man-pleaser or a God-pleaser. Imagine that. God asking you to kill your son. He ain't going to ask you that now. Has everybody got that? He ain't going to ask you to kill your spouse. He ain't going to ask you to kill nothing. Hello? So don't even go there. Let's hope that God's going to raise him at the end. No, it's not. Isaac. Hello. Isaac was the promised seed. Amen? So the Lord was testing Abraham. He wanted to see, because Abraham used to speak about how much he loved his son. He loved him. But the love for God was greater. And I'm not telling you this is about a feeling. This is about a choice. You must choose to love God greater than anything in your life. That's your choice. It's not about a feeling. If I was going to wait for a feeling, if you're going to wait for a feeling, we'll never do anything. That's not living out of the Spirit. Living out of the Spirit is making a choice that pleases God. Living out of the soul makes the choice of pleasing yourself. Amen? Is everybody okay? And so when Abraham was approved, did he get blessed? Yeah. Did he have to really kill Isaac? No. God showed up at the last minute. Man, sometimes he shows up when you're falling off the cliff. Now, let's go somewhere else. 1 Samuel 13. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things that Samuel was the prophet, and he would tell Saul, the king of Israel, things to do. And he was supposed to wait for Samuel to come for a burnt offering. They were going out to war. I'm going to go in verse 6. Let's start there, 1 Samuel 13:6. When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people hid in caves and thickets, in rocks and holes and in pits. And some of the Hebrews crossed over of the... Some of the And some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilgad. For as for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me." And he offered up the burnt offering. Now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him. And Samuel said, "What have you done?" Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, 'The Philistines will come, now come down on me at Gilgal,' and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord has established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall what? Not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept the Lord's commanded, what the Lord commanded you to do." And Saul did not do this just once. He did this multiple times. He even confessed the one time that he pleased man instead of God. And what happened? He never could fulfill his call, could he? God removed him from that position. I'm sharing with you that right now in this cycling that we're going through, this approval cycle, God wants to know whether you're living out of the spirit or out of the soul, and it determines what you approve of and disapprove of. Amen? In Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Let's speak it together. "Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of what? Endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but to those who believe in the saving of the soul." So you and I must come to a place where it's being exposed, where we need to break off the approval of the cycle of the world. Amen? Approval seeking of the world makes it impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God. Why? And not only that, then you can't become an overcomer, because the word says submit to God to resist the devil. So if you're not submitting to God in every area, if you're not approving of what God approves, then you can't overcome the enemy. He'll easily deceive you in multiple ways. In Psalm 26, in verse 1, Psalm 26, verse 1, what does it say? "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity." So he was asking for vindication. But you can't ask for vindication unless you're walking right with God. "I have also trusted in the Lord. I have not slipped. I shall not slip." What does he ask? "Examine me." That's one of the things that you and I should be doing every day. "Lord, search me through. Remove those things that offend you and cause me to stumble. Bring your light and truth into every area of my life. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals." Nor, look at that. "I have not sat with idolatrous mortals." Why? He considered himself an eternal light. Does everybody get this? We're no longer temporary. We are eternal. And we need to look at this as an area, because we are eternal, that we don't want to be entangled or ensnagged in anything of this realm that God disapproves of. "I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go with the hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence. I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may what? Proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving. I will tell of all of your wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells." 1 John chapter 2. Oh, yes. We'll be hearing much more of these scriptures. So what you approve, you'll be judged by, right? What you approve, you're connected to. Verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. Hello. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Hello, he's here. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. Okay, so they're not up with us. They're not continuing with us. Why? Because they approved of something that God disapproved of. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you what? You know all things. You know all things. You know all things. See, you already know it. We already know. We already know what pleases God and displeases God. We know it. But if you're living out of the soul, you're going to allow your emotions and feelings to dictate your decisions instead of truth. I want to close in Galatians 5. Look at what's going on in the world right now. Look how much people are approving of evil. People are selling their souls out for fame, for money. Let me tell you, when things start to happen, which they are going to, there's going to be a lot of uprising, much uprising coming. And we need to be ready in season and out. We need to be under the protection of the Lord in the secret place. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. You're under that, you're covered. But if you start approving the things that God disapproves of, you'll start going away from it. Galatians 5, verse 16. Let's speak it together. I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you don't do the things that you wish or desire. Now the works, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law of sin and death. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Anything similar to it. Anything that God disapproves of. Anything that God disapproves of. Of which I tell you before, and just as I also told you in time past that those who practice or approve of such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, control over self. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. So if you're truly living out of the Spirit, you'll be approving of those things that God approves. And if you're not, you're approving those things that God disapproves. And this is where all the testing is coming now. Why? He's trying to get all of you under his wing. All of you. He's trying to get all of us under his wing. So as a storm comes, you are not harmed. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed be protected by the blood of the Lamb and let it grow and bear fruit for your glory. And let us take this opportunity and repent for anything that we approved of that was disapproved by you. We ask for your forgiveness and mercies and grace. In Jesus' mighty name.